of correction of error. It's the way you correct the ego. It's the way you correct the mistake. The Course uses the word error and the word ego as synonymous. So I'm going to read through it. There's three paragraphs I want to go through right quick. The alertness of the ego to the errors of other egos is not the kind of business the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. I'll say that until we hear it. The alertness of the ego to the errors of other egos is not the kind of business the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. The alertness of the ego to the errors of other egos is not the kind of business God is asking us to have. The alertness of our ego to everybody else's ego is not the kind of vigilance we're being asked for. Egos are critical. In terms of the kind of sense egos stand for, egos are critical. Egos understand their kind of sense, because the ego's kind of sense is sensible to the ego. But to the Holy Spirit, the ego makes no sense at all. So the Course is basically saying that the right man is not even alert to the errors of the wrong man, because to the right man, what the wrong man is saying doesn't make any sense anyway, so there's no point in even focusing in on it. So one of the best ways to bring yourself peace on the spiritual path is to go ahead and let everybody be crazy.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. One of the easiest ways to have peace on the spiritual path is to let your uncle be your uncle, let your aunt be your aunt, let your friend be your friend, let everybody around you be. The alertness of my insane ego mind to the errors of your insane ego man is not the kind of vigilance that Holy Spirit is asking us to have, because I'm always critical in terms of the kind of sense I stand for. Whatever I think is right, I'm critical of everybody else. And the Course is saying everybody else is doing the same thing too. They're judging everybody else based on what they think is right. So the Course says, well, Spirit doesn't even get involved with all of our insane judging. That as you begin to wake up to your spiritual identity, you are not even trying to understand most of the people around you. And that's why you're frustrated. He says, because we're trying to understand insanity. The E to the ego is the Course of the mind that doesn't know what the truth is. Okay, to the ego it is kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them.
Yeah.
Okay, so to the ego it's kind and right and good to tell you what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to the ego mind it's kind and right to point out your mistakes and point out your mistakes. And so the Course says this makes perfect sense to the ego, because the ego is unaware of what errors are and what correction is.
Yeah.
So the person who thinks they're separate and thinks that they have a separate mind and thinks that they are a victim of the world that they see, that person, the Course says, is unaware of what errors are, because people who make errors are usually unaware of the error they're making, or they wouldn't make the error. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then it says, then if I don't know what the error is, I certainly don't know what the correction is either. So we got a bunch of people trying to correct each other who don't even know what the mistake is or what the answer to the mistake is. That's what this book is saying to us. I don't really know what the error is. I'm trying to point out your errors. He said, but the truth is you don't really know what the error is, and you really don't even know what the correction is, because if we did, we wouldn't have the error. So one of the things that made me really dive really deeply into the Course is I realized that the world's solutions have already been tried over and 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 over. So the Course says that the truth is just the opposite of what the world believes. That if you want to get to the truth really fast, you just say anything the world believes and say the truth is the opposite of that. If the world says we're separate, the truth is we're one. If the world says we're all victims of one thing or another, the truth says we're the creators and that we're responsible. If the world says we're guilty and sinful, the truth says we're innocent and holy. If the world says this is reality, then the truth says this is an illusion. You can just, you know, if the world says it's all about special love, exclusive love, the truth is love is impersonal and love is given to everything equally. The truth is always just the opposite of what the separated mind believes, because the Course says if you got a separated mind in your mind, if you think you're separate, then you already are in error mind. So for you to point out somebody else's error from your error is not the correction of the error, which we don't have to believe, don't have to accept. Don't forget this, because if you believe you have to believe it, it's hard to hear it. If you look at it like I'm just opening myself up to hear what this book says, then you'll let yourself hear it. So kind of get rid of, if we want to go deep in the Course, let go of your belief that you have to believe it at first, at all. And you'll be amazed at how much all of a sudden the Course that didn't make any sense makes sense. The reason why it doesn't seem to make sense is that we're trying to make it make sense in terms of what we already believe. So we compare what it's saying to what we already believe, and then we go, oh, I don't know what that, well, that's maybe. The other thing is, if the world would tell you that if I really want to correct everything, I need to fix you. So the world's going to say, I need, if you change, I'd be happy. If you change, I'd be happy. If you change, I'd be happy. If you change. So the truth must be, if I change, I'd be happy. See, the truth is always the opposite of what the world teaches. Oh, that's so good. That's so grateful to me to hear. So it says, errors are of the ego, and correction of errors lies in the relinquishment of the ego. What does that mean? Well, it means when you correct a brother, you're telling him that he's wrong. The person might not be making no sense at the time. I'm going to paraphrase and make it a conversation. The person might not be making any sense at the time, and it's certain that they're speaking from their ego, if they're speaking from their sense of separateness, their sense of guilt, their sense of not knowing the truth, he says, then they won't be making any sense if they're speaking from their ego. He says, but your task is still to tell them they're right. You don't tell them they're right verbally. Okay, did that relax you a little bit? Okay. All right. I just had to feel it. So all of a sudden, everybody thought they had to believe it. You know, I'll say just like I said. It was like, no, you don't tell somebody who's speaking insanely that they're right verbally. He says, if they're speaking foolishly, you don't tell them verbally they're correct, but the person needs correction at another level because their error is at another level. What's the other level? They need the correction at the level that change can happen, and who knows what level that is.
That's the mind.
What?
That's the mind.
That's the mind level. They need correction at the thinking level, so because their mistake is which has them speaking insanely, is at the thinking level.
Yes.
That's why they're speaking crazy.
Right.
Okay, because they got a crazy mind. So the mind needs to be corrected.
Yeah.
All right? So that's why you don't tell them right, they're right verbally if they're talking foolishly, because it's really not at the verbal level that you need to correct them. They really need to be corrected how? At the mind level. That's why the Course is saying, as much as possible, as you begin to wake up, it answered that question to me. If there are higher beings or a higher level of consciousness than mine, if there are beings that are more advanced than me, why don't they say something?
Yeah.
Why is God quiet? Because God doesn't understand us. It's nothing we say means anything or makes any sense anyway. So why even treat it like it even has any power? Because if I act like what you were saying had some power enough to be trying to fix it all the time, I'm saying that you didn't really change something or do something with your insane thought. So if your thought really doesn't mean anything, why would I say anything to you about it? If it really doesn't mean anything and it really can't change the truth, what do I need to correct you for? If it's not having any direct effect on me, what do I need to correct you for? See, peace comes from recognizing the truth. But the truth is, I don't really know what's best for anybody in this room. And the truth is, I need correction at another level. You need correction at another level. But I don't care what you're saying, you're still a child of God. That's what it says. You're right because you're a child of God. You are right. I didn't say your thinking was right. I said you are right. You are right. Because you are a child of God. So you are right. What you are is right. It is love. It is real. What you are is right. Your thinking might be a little bit loopy, but what you are is right. But your ego, the part of you that thinks you're separate and different and alone and guilty and sinful and thinks you are your story, is always wrong. Your ego is always wrong. Your fear is always wrong because you couldn't be seen correctly and be afraid. Wow. So your ego is always wrong. 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 Always wrong. Because always means always.
Always.
Okay. Always. No matter what your ego says or does is wrong. Whatever I say to you based on the idea that you all are separate from me is wrong because the basic premise is wrong. If I was explaining to you all what it would be like to be an eagle from the perspective that I thought I was an eagle, then it wouldn't matter what I told you about me, it would be wrong because I'm not an eagle. So once you have a wrong sense of who you are, it doesn't make any difference what you say from this wrong sense of what you are. So it really doesn't matter what the ego says or does, it's wrong. Which we don't have to believe and we don't have to accept. Okay, we don't have to believe it, we don't have to accept it. Now, this is a negative, okay, now you see why I said it was hard? You know what makes it so hard? It's telling us not to do what we really can't do anyway. And that's hard for me because I love to do what doesn't work. And there's a part of me that believes if I do what doesn't work a certain number of times, it works. So, at least I just haven't found the right person to do what doesn't work with. So I'm busy looking for the right person to do what's wrong with. Really explains my 20s. And I was quite proud, actually. I was glad when I could find the right person to do something wrong with. That's the thing about getting older. Everybody's so gifted, they don't do nothing no more. It is. It's the truth. They stand up everything. They've done everything, and that is. Well, you don't know no better. You're more adventurous. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
You're so wise now, you don't do nothing. I would like to do it. No, I shouldn't. No, I better not take that drink. You know, it's all about you trying not to repeat your past. But somewhere along the line, people let go of the fun part, realizing that there's things that you can do that's very exciting and joyful that doesn't necessarily bring guilt or this wrong or this bad. But we're so used to doing the things that we are. Because we're so attracted to guilt that it's hard for sometimes for us. We believe not doing the thing that's bad for us really means do nothing. We don't know what it means. Do something else. Anyway, that's all right. You innocent, I'm innocent. We're eternal, so don't sweat it. Okay, you've done and discarded more bodies than you care to remember. That's why you don't. Who needs to remember their past lives anyway? I have enough trouble dealing with the guilt and problems I do with this world. I don't need to add what I did in China 300 years ago to my guilt. Don't you know that? Isn't that right? We got enough to deal with right now in the present. Really, you don't need to remember what you did 300 years ago. So the Course is telling us, if you point out the errors of somebody else's ego, you must be seeing through yours. If you point out the errors of somebody else's ego, you have to be seeing through yours. So let's make that practical. If I see Byron's selfishness, then I'm looking through mine to see his. If I'm looking at your beauty, I'm looking through mine to see yours. If I see you as powerful, I'm looking through my power to see your power. If I see you as guilty, I'm looking through my guilt to see your guilt. So the Course is saying, cool, you can point out somebody's error, but don't forget, you're simultaneously pointing out yours. If you understand you can never see someone else's error separate from yours, then you won't be hurt by your perception of somebody else's ego. You will be empowered by it. If you think you're seeing somebody's quality and you think it's not yours, then you are weakening yourself because you're fooling yourself into thinking you don't have the quality you see. So you keep on reproducing it in other people because you don't think it's in you. So you think by changing that person or that situation, you somehow are going to change the situation, but you're not. because you think the other person had the issue and not you. So I can see your jealousy through my jealousy. I can see your insecurity through my insecurity. I can see your spirituality through my spirituality. I see your freedom through my freedom. So are we clear that what this is saying? Not that we have to buy it, but are you clear what it's saying? So it's saying then the Holy Spirit doesn't even see your errors. Love doesn't see fear. Love doesn't see errors. God doesn't see errors. God only sees the solutions, the love. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. So it's no way I can point out you all's flaws, but I can't be looking at your flaws through the Holy Spirit in me. It could never be my higher self seeing your lower self. It could never be me coming from this elevated position looking at the person who seems like they're on a lower level of consciousness. As long as a person thinks that that's true, they'll be surrounded by people that they don't get along with. And when you know somebody who's always complaining about the people that's around them, it's because they're looking at those people through their own ego, and so they're seeing those people's egos.
Wow.
There are some people that like me, there are some people that don't. I'm the same person. What's different? One person looking at me through their ego, seeing some quality in me that's really in them, because I'm so cool. And then like, you don't like me? Oh, you're so problem. Oh, you poor thing. You know. Oh. One day that's the way you look at it. Oh, you don't see the beauty in me? Oh, wow. Well, I want to see the beauty in you, so you'll see it in you more. Because if you were seeing the beauty in you, you'd see the beauty in me. So instead of judging you for not seeing the beauty in me, I need to help you see the beauty in you so you can finally see me correctly, because you're seeing me through your own guilt and fear. And that's how you correct it. Because they're only seeing you wrong because they don't love themselves. Because the Holy Spirit in them doesn't even perceive the errors. The love in me doesn't perceive the errors. The Spirit in me doesn't perceive the errors in you. It's only my ego that sees ego. All right. I'm going to stop there for a second. Throw it open for questions and discussion, or any ahas or any comments. Because that is powerful stuff. It'd be happy to believe that none of you all would have any thoughts about something that like is powerful as what we just heard. But maybe not. Yeah.
Oh, you said whatever someone is saying, if it doesn't affect me. What if something someone is not allowing something someone is saying to be hurtful?
Oh, mm-hmm.
I know that's by my mistake
mm-hmm.
to allow it, but. What's that? I mean,
there's no way you can really get that you're the one that's allowing yourself to be hurt and not change it. See, whenever a person says, and I'm glad you said, that's why I like questions, because when people ask questions, they're just asking what everybody's thinking, but they're not saying. And if we were to say it, first of all, it would be us joining with each other, which would be a healing, not being strangers to each other. And it allows the Holy Spirit to come into the class. So one of the ego defenses to keep spirit from coming into the group is non-communication. Because the Course teaches that communication is salvation and how healing happens. So our ego doesn't want us to heal. So the way our ego keeps us from healing is to keep us separate and not communicating. As if it's something to be afraid of if you communicate. And then what part of me would be self-conscious about communicating? Would it be God to me? No, it would just be my ego in the first place. So one of the best ways to get past your ego is to realize it's your ego and then say, I'm going to do it anyway, rather than go ahead and let it win. So, an example, when you say stuff like, I know I'm allowing somebody to hurt me, the truth is you're just repeating something that you've heard that you haven't accepted as true yet. And you're just hearing it so you can say it to yourself enough times that you really believe you are allowing them to hurt you. Because the minute you really get that you're allowing someone to hurt you through what you are telling yourself, because you're making yourself feel it, then you would immediately use the interpretations that the Course in Miracles gives you in the workbook to cancel out that perception that's hurting you. And that's the purpose of the workbook, is to answer that question, well, what do I do if I am feeling angry and hurt? And then the workbook says, well, if you're feeling angry and upset, say blah, 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 or do blah, 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 blah. That's where the workbook of the Course comes in. And when you do that, that's when you know that you're becoming stronger than your ego. Because there's no way you can say, there's no way we can say that we want to achieve a goal, but we're not willing to use the means to do it. So let's say somebody says they want to do the Course, and they want to master the piece that the Course is talking about. It is absolutely no way you can seriously mean that and not do what the Course says. And how can you do what the Course says if you never studied the Course? Okay, then what happens is that a person hears it for a while, becomes bored with it, and thinks that they're just hearing something they've heard before and just stop doing it. But they don't realize the reason why that happened is because to hear something is only the first stage of accepting the truth. Course says first you hear it, then it's repeated many, many times, then you begin to partially believe it because you're telling it to yourself many. He says then you finally believe it, then you see the manifestation. So in most classes like this, it's only first stage. It's only people are just hearing something. But the temptation is to think because you're hearing something, it means you're actually learning it. Or you're getting it. And so the ego will look for your world to change because you came to the class. And if it doesn't change, you say, well, the class doesn't work. But the class just introduced the idea like you can only see your ego through somebody else's ego through your ego. That your ego thinks it's kind of right and good to correct people. But spirit doesn't do that. See, the class just introduces the new ideas that we wanted to accept. So to go back to your issue, if I knew I was allowing myself to be hurt, then I would stop. Because I'd stop giving myself the perception or the person that I'm hurting myself through. Don't forget these two rules of changing the situation you don't like. Number two, if you can't change the internal situation, change the external situation.
So like she was saying, she allows someone to hurt you, so that person not saying hurtful things, they're hurt themselves. So.
The person that's saying hurtful things is a person who has hurtful thoughts themselves. But the thing that it took me a while to get from the Course was this. And sometimes I use this because it's such an extreme example. And just kind of check out how you act when I say this, okay? When I was growing up in the South as a young boy, sometimes white people would drive by and yell out nigger. It's very common in the South when I was growing up. Those were fighting words, all right, because of the word meaning I gave to it and because of the meaning they gave to it. When I began to wake up to who I really was and realized that was just the word and I was the one that was giving it all the meaning that it had for me, and I was the one that was hurting myself, and I was the one that was making myself mad, and it was only me feeling it, not the person in the car, then it didn't make sense to my mind to continue to give power to it. So once you begin to recognize the truth, your mind automatically corrects the error because your mind has already been trained to correct error. So once you go, it's a mistake to let that bother me because I'm the one that's giving that word all the meaning it has. Now sometimes I've been around young people in black bodies and white bodies. And I've heard two young white guys say to each other, "You my nigga." And I've heard black guys doing the same thing. They have, because of their age and what they hear on the radio, they have absolutely no sense of what that word has represented and what it has meant in the past. Which goes to show you that it's all about the meaning you give it. What's the such thing as a white nigga? You get what I'm saying? Notice that as time changes, culture changes, the same word is there, but the way that people are responding to it is different. Somebody who still has a charge on that, then they're still going to react by getting angry because of the meaning that they give to it. So if it's a word or the person using the word that's causing the pain, or is it me hurting myself through the meaning that I give the word? Okay, what is it, folks? Okay, now can you take that and apply that to everything in your life? Because that's just as true with your mama saying something you think upset you, your brother saying something you think upset you, your boss saying something that you think of, your child saying, it is the exact same rule. Your child did not hurt your feelings. You hurt your feelings about what your child said. That's why no one can make you feel anything. You make yourself feel what you feel. Now, check this out. Some things are so deeply ingrained. You've heard it so much. It's so much your trigger and your belief that you react to it before you can consciously think about it. And that'll be the thing you'll say, I just can't help that. Or are you trying to tell me if a person says something to me, I don't have to be hurt by that? If I don't physically strike your body, there's nothing I say to you that has the power to hurt you. Because if you were awake, you could dismiss it, just like the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean anything. That's not what I am. That's not who I am. So I'm not going to react to that. What happens if you don't react to it? You don't feel the consciousness that attracts it to you in the first place. Your ego is going to freak out. And your ego is going to feel justified. Great. You can feel justified, but the only thing that's going to happen is you're just going to attract more and more people on that level of consciousness, even though you can feel very righteous in your anger. So nobody's trying to take righteous anger from anybody in here. Okay, whatever it is you want to feel righteously angry, because we don't have to believe this. I'm just saying what this is saying in my perception. You follow what I'm saying? So I can either go through life hoping I can change everybody so that they don't say something that offends me, which sounds like to me a lot of work, and I'm just not that up to that. Or I could just allow myself to only be affected by the truth about me, by knowing the truth about me. So therefore, if someone says something unloving to me, then I don't have to react to it because it's not my interpretation of who I am, and who cares what you think about me. But as a matter of fact, what you think about me is not even my business. Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that, Earl, a long time ago, mm-hmm. and they said, what other people think of me is none of my business.
That's right.
And for some reason, that helped me, that short little, simple little statement that I can just grab when I'm about to choke somebody, said that to myself.
Or even if you choke somebody, even if you lose it, if at some point you remind yourself that it was you that made yourself feel that, then you're still moving in the right direction. Because I want to share something with you all. It's very important to remember. And you might want to put this on your bathroom mirror or something. There's four words. Readiness is not mastery. It will save you so much trauma on the spiritual path. People have a tendency, just because they hear how they ought to be, they think they ought to be that way at the moment that they hear they ought to be. And then they beat themselves up for not being able to do it. Like you hear me say, I made myself mad about that. So you walk out thinking, well, I should be able to not make myself mad about everything now, because I'm the one that's making me mad. But you don't realize you trained yourself over years and years and years to give meaning to those things. And just because you hear a strange black dude say it on Thursday night, it's not going to take that charge away. So that's why the Course says forgiveness is such an important part of the spiritual path, because unless you can forgive yourself for your errors while you're learning how to release them, the path is going to be hell for you. If you beat yourself up every time you don't act up to your idealized version of what you think you ought to be acting like now, then this is not going to be very much fun to be on your spiritual path. Being on your spiritual path means that you have to make it okay for you to make mistakes. You have to make it okay for you to lose your temper. You have to make it okay for you to feel guilty. You have to make it okay for you to feel jealous. You have to make it okay. You have to make it okay. You have to make it okay to have the human feelings that you're trying to go beyond until you go beyond them, or you just make yourself more separate, more guilty, and you feel worse than you did before you ever picked up a book. Does that make sense to everybody? If you judge your spiritual progress all the time by thinking you got to be perfect from this moment on just because you heard that you in control of your feelings ultimately through your interpretations, that's going to be your ego. The way you get rid of your upset is to not get upset about getting upset. The way you get rid of your fear is to not feel afraid about feeling afraid. The way you get rid of your anger is not to get angry at yourself for getting angry. Most people think it's about stuffing it and pretending that you're not angry, and that's spiritual enlightenment. So you got a lot of repressed people on the spiritual path that's just one hot second away from being on top of a building shooting people right after they course class. There's a tendency, and David and I were talking about that today, that we noticed as far as spiritual groups and stuff, is that we notice that when people who are in new thought, not necessarily people who are in traditional religion and spiritual stuff, but we notice that, we've been doing this a long time, people in new thought hide all of their negative emotions pretty much. If they're upset, if something's not going good for them, they don't come to the class. If they're feeling bad, they'll tell you they're feeling good. They somehow think that if they ever tell the truth about any feelings that's less than positive, they're going to create a negative circumstance for themselves. Because they think it's all about being positive and projecting something positive. So they go into denial about their real feelings. So then when they most need support, they don't allow themselves to have it. Because when they're feeling bad, they won't come because they don't want to come unless they're looking good. So when I'm crazy, I stay at home, and when I think I'm pretty much got together, I show up. Which I found that my friends and relatives that are in traditional religion in most of their churches, it's just the opposite. As soon as they feel like things aren't working in their life, they run to their church and they run to their church members and they say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my light, gas, and water bill. Will y'all play with me? And they get together and, Lord, we're asking that our sister here attracts the amount of money to her to take. You've seen it. Not new thought people, because everybody's fine. You talk to everybody. Everybody's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. Jealousy? Really? I love everybody. So when you're in that kind of denial, you'll know you are, and I'll tell you how you'll know you are. Okay? The way you'll know you are is you'll see everybody else with the problem. And you'll see you as being okay. I'm okay, but you're jealous, you're afraid, you're upset, something's wrong with you, but I'm okay. That's how you know you're in total denial about your own ego. Because you can't see somebody else's ego how? Except through your own. So that's how you keep from fooling yourself. As long as you see it, in me, it's in you. That's it. As long as you see it in me, it's in your mind. But you are right. You are beautiful. You are powerful. It's just that your mind is kind of screwed up. You know, and we would all feel more innocent in this room if we all said, you know what? All of us have an ego. And all of us have fear. And all of us have some insecurities about something. And all of us get angry sometimes. And all of us do stupid stuff sometimes. That would make us feel one. We think what makes us feel one is saying, I love you, you love me, we all are a child of God. We've been doing that for years. How's it working for you? Okay? Okay, we come to classes and do that all the time. But how many classes we come to and say, you know, boy, I'm going to tell you, today, last weekend I was following my boyfriend around, hiding behind the bushes, seeing who he was going to go, see if he's going to go out with another woman. And you come to the class and everybody says, me too, I did that one time. Which y'all have. I've done it. You know, it's like drive by their house, know the other person they with now is in there. You imagining you used to be in that bed. You know. I wonder if they saying the same thing to them they said to me. Better yet, I've been using my technique on somebody else. But anyway, You get it? See, the minute I said something that all of us do in our ego have thought about doing, notice the energy in the room immediately shifted. See, as long as you cannot lose by seeing each other as the same, even if you're seeing each other the same as in your ego the same, it still brings about a sense of innocence. Because guilt is the belief you are alone in what you're going through. That's why people who are insecure, they don't like to hang out with people who are real, real secure, because it just makes them feel more insecure. That's why I couldn't hang out with Jesus. You know, Jesus feeding 5,000 folk with 2 loaves of bread, and I can't hardly feed myself. So I would have an inferiority complex. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get to that lake over there about on Sherman. What's that? The city park got that lake. Jesus just walk across it, and I'm over there on the other side. I couldn't hang with Jesus. So people who have the happiest relationships are the people who have mates and partners who have the same dysfunctions as them. One of the happiest couples I saw at Cherry Creek last weekend was what appeared to be, and that's everything so politically correct, so back in the day you could say handicapped. What do you say now? Somehow impaired or something. Yeah. You know, now you got to say everything so correctly now. But, you know, his body was twisted, her body was twisted. They were holding each other's hand, and they seemed as happy as they could be. You know, and they were interracial. I said, y'all are really going for it. I had to say that. And those two interracial handicapped couple, I was like, only in Colorado. You would never see it in Memphis, I'm telling you. It would not happen. But I could not deny that I felt their love. I felt their connection, because he wasn't going to feel self-conscious about the way he looked, and she wasn't either. You know what I mean? You know, I've had relationships where maybe I met somebody and I was really attracted to them, but they were taller than me. And I couldn't get past that. You know, they was like really attractive. It was like I couldn't get over it. I thought that I had height, the ego. You know, and so what I'm saying is, but when I was with somebody more my height, I felt better. So my point is that if I'm jealous and I'm trying to deal with my jealousy and I'm with someone who seems to have absolutely none, that's not easy. But if I felt jealous and they went, you know, I got some jealousy issues too, we don't both want to stay there, but we both have the same, you know, thing we need to work on, so let's work on that together. Then I can understand when you get jealous, because I get jealous. But if I think I'm the one who never gets jealous, and you always get jealous, then you're going to feel inferior to me, and I'm going to think you're the problem. Mm-hmm. See, I don't realize the reason why I'm not showing you that I must be jealous too, because you're with me, which means I could not have jealousy, or we wouldn't be together. Even if I'm not showing it, I got it. How do I know I got it? Because you got it, and I'm with you. Why am I not showing it? Well, the fact that you're clinging to my ankle as I walk out of the door gives me a feeling of security. So why should I be jealous? You're showing me that I don't need to be jealous, because you act like you can't live without me. So of course I could go, I don't know why you're jealous. Of course you can't. You know, look how much confidence I'm giving you and how important you are to me. You're dragging me out to the car. So why should you act jealous? That's why the other one will go, I don't understand. I don't know. Why are you so jealous? So they don't know. If you see jealousy, you got it in you. And sooner or later, they'll meet the person that'll show them they got it. That person who they're dragging by the ankle can show them. Just by showing some of that attention to somebody else. And you'll find Mr. No Jealousy is now about to go crazy. And I'm sure there's those of you who can relate to what I'm saying. The minute you turn your attention somewhere else and it looks like somebody else, you know, I've seen couples that haven't touched each other, spoke to each other in 15 years. And the husband or the boyfriend, either way, is constantly putting them down. Don't give them no love or affection at all. Then they go out somewhere, somebody give their mate the slightest bit of attention, and they are totally and completely tripping. Even though they don't acknowledge that person, they don't tell them how much they care about them, they never touch them, but the minute they think somebody else wants them, they're the maddest people in the house. Can y'all relate?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I'm saying, is that person really isn't different at all. So I would rather go ahead and admit I have it, even if I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see it in you, I have it there. I don't need to have it shown to me in the party where I'm thinking because they're talking to somebody. Because I go ahead and see it for the same. So as long as I realize I can only see your ego through my ego, I'll be okay. As long as you walk out here tonight and you don't remember anything else. It's okay if you can say you see something in somebody else. Please don't think you're different. And you will grow spiritually. If you think you're different, you're slowing yourself down. Because you can't be different from what you see. You can't be different from what you see. Well, I'm not like a murderer. No, but you have attack thoughts. And that's what a murderer has. Attack thoughts. They just took them to the extreme. But it's still an attack thought. And don't tell me that you have this sometime in your life, you haven't thought you'd be happy if somebody was dead.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember vividly as a child, I had a problem. My father had a problem with alcoholism, and he was physically abusive to my mother. And I can remember praying he would die so I could have some peace. Got older, got on the spiritual path, started studying, got a completely different perception of everything that happened in my childhood. And I was able to forgive it, coming from a new perception of it, being a call for love, being a soul contract, being something that I created, being something that taught me, you know, being my own past. When you start to practice the truth, everything you see is being horrendous. You can tell that you're seeing it correctly because you'll see it in a way that you knew it's somehow related to your own spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of that other person. Everything that happens in this world is ultimately about healing us in some way, even if it doesn't look like it. It's like if you've ever cut yourself and you have a big ugly scab on you. I grew up in a time where it was okay for a kid to fall. And it's so funny now. It's like, go ahead and put the little child in an armored truck. You know, you can't protect your child from everything, but everybody's trying. They're trying. They're giving it the best shot they possibly can. They're trying to protect their child, and nobody can do it. But anyway, we're so funny. It's like we think we're so afraid. We're so afraid of everything, and then we wonder why more fearful things happen. You know, we lose sight of who we are, then everything becomes frightening. Right?
Yeah.
So if you walk out of here tonight, and you walk out of here with the perception that, okay, I know some situation, I'm not saying if you see a child getting ready to walk out on the street, you say, well, Earl said don't correct him, so let the bus smash him into a million pieces. Nobody believes anything I said to that extent. If I had that kind of power, it would be ridiculous. So I don't have the power. You got to come back. Don't lose your common sense because, we come to a course class. Okay, let's keep our common sense now. But let's face it. You don't see children walking out in front of a car every day. So in most situations, we don't need to correct. In most situations, there's no need for you to say anything because it has no direct effect on anything. Really? I mean, really. So if you could practice this way, saying, I'm going to practice for the next weekend, finding out as much as I can about my own ego so I can keep it from hurting me. How do I do that? Every ego I think I see is mine. So if you just go, okay, I think I see that. Quality. Oh, thank you. You just made me aware of a quality within my own mind that I need to correct. Thank you. Oh, it's another one. Oh, there's another one. Your list will be about that long by Monday morning. But that also would be a list of things that you wouldn't experience as much as you used to. That's the beauty of it. See, your ego will tell you if you do that, it's going to attract more of it to you. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. The more you see your ego and recognize it for what it is, the less it can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It's hiddenness is what gives it its power. The once your ego isn't hidden, it can't do anything to you. It's the guy that's sneaking up on you that you don't know is there that can sucker punch you, not the person that's running towards you with a knife. You got a chance to go in another direction. So hiding your ego from yourself is the best way to let it smash you. So if you walk around pretending you have none of the qualities of all the people you're upset with, that's you hiding from your own ego, but your ego knows who you are. And so you attract things. So when you listen to this, when you listen to what I'm saying, isn't that opposite to what we were taught?
Yes.
It's probably true then. Right? It's totally opposite. It's totally the opposite from what we were taught. The hardest, I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things in the world for me to do is when I get upset to think I'm not right.
Wow.
I have a tendency that when I'm emotionally invested to really think I'm right.
Uh-huh.
Like the more upset I am, the righter I must be. And the Course used like an incredible analogy with that. Let's just say that we pretty much agree that Bugs Bunny doesn't exist. Can we all agree on that? All right. What about if Bugs Bunny was holding Daffy Duck's hand? Would he be real then? What if Bugs Bunny had a carrot in his hand and he was on a cartoon motorcycle? Would he be realer then? Okay, the reason why I'm saying that is that that's what the Course is saying. The intensity of your anger doesn't make it any more true, any more than dressing up Bugs Bunny and having him hold Daffy Duck's hand makes him any more real. So just because you're more angry than you've ever been before doesn't make your position any more accurate or correct.
Wow.
And that's the mistake we make. I wouldn't possibly be this mad if I was really wrong. And so at one point you go, I'm very pissed. I must be really wrong. And then that's when salvation comes to you. I am so angry, I know my perception must be distorted and I need to ask for another way to look at this. Why? Because I want to kill somebody. That's when you wake up, that's what you start doing. You start to feel that little twinge. You know that little twinge come before you go crazy? You know before you used to go crazy, the twinge comes first. You get the little... See, when you feel that starting, that is your warning that your perception is going into hell now. Your perception is deteriorating very quickly. If you're a smart person, you do two things. I always at least two little things. Either you tell yourself something that changes your mind so that you change the way you feel, or you change the physical situation, which may entail getting up and leaving. Or saying, I am not going to talk to you right now. I'm going to leave right now. If you can't change your mind, change the situation. If you can't change your mind, change the situation. But if you go into that pain body, if you go into that part of you that's angry completely, you go unconscious. And then you become totally asleep and you aren't there anymore. You have checked out. And so that's where forgiveness comes in. So that you can look at what you did while you were checked out as a call for love. It was a call for God. That was you being afraid. That was you needing help in that moment. That's why you threw the vase upside the wall, was because you were so deep into fear and separation and distorted perception. And when you come back to sanity, you will forgive yourself because you realize that was just your call for love. And if you do that, then you will begin to decrease in your losing of your temper and going unconscious. But you won't know the truth that I'm saying by trying to analyze it first. See how valid it is before you actually use the idea. It's just the opposite. It's when you use it, you see that it works. See, what we try to do is always figure out everything and the consequences of everything in that sense before we actually apply the idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to. So first of all, I'm going to hear what you're saying, and I'm going to see if I can find the flaws in this, and I'm going to see where that couldn't possibly work. And then, and you can tell when that's happening because your mind immediately goes to, but what if the other person is blooka, 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 blooka? Anybody have that thought?
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but what if that other person is blooka, blooka, blooka? Okay, then you know that that's got to be your ego because it's still projecting the solution into being somehow changing that other person. And just because you're angry and because they look sadistic doesn't make that any less true. The more extreme the situation just reflects how much more you're trying to convince yourself you're a victim.
Woo!
That's just your way of proving you're a victim. And you could, and what's, and, this, and the universe isn't really doing that. It's really trying to get you to see it's you that's doing it to you by not letting you be able to change the other person in order for you to feel better. So it's almost like the more you try to change the other person in order to feel better, the less it's going to happen, because that would be supporting the idea that you are a victim of the world you see. So don't expect spirit to help you change somebody else for you to be happy. But your ego will always get you to try to invest all your time into changing somebody else so you can be happy. And you'll go to classes for it, workshops for it, and you will read books that's all about how to get the outer thing to switch so that you'll be happy. It's the same thing that's happening with the metaphysical principles. It's great to know you can manifest physical things, but if you're studying all these visualization, creating everything books because you think what you are going to manifest is going to be the key to your happiness, you're doing the exact same thing as anybody else that's unconscious. You think your happiness is going to come from something outside yourself, which is everybody who's unconscious thinks that. But because we do it in a more sophisticated way, we think it represents higher consciousness. You know what I'm saying? I'm still giving my power away, but I'm doing it through my visualization, so I must be more spiritual because now I'm imagining the thing that I'm going to give my power away with. Now I have a picture of the thing I'm going to give my power away with, and if I do that right, the thing I will give my power away with will show up within a week. And maybe it will, but it won't make you completely happy. And that's what you'll find out. I found out you can manifest your butt off. I mean, I've been doing that since the 70s. You know, that's no big deal, all this stuff about you can manifest. I've been studying that for 30 years. But people don't know, yeah, you can manifest, but if you're crazy, it don't make no difference. Because you're going to still make yourself unhappy in the brand new car. As a matter of fact, you'll manifest a brand new car, and then you can't afford the gas to drive it. $4 a gallon, let me take that car back to the dealer. They won't even let you drop SUVs off now. You can't even trade them. They won't even take them when you try to go down there now. You see what I'm saying? So we can have our toys. As a matter of fact, we can draw our toys to us even faster if we know the toys are not the key to our happiness. Yeah. It's okay to have the toys if you're not going to fool yourself with the toys. So it's not saying you can't have your toys. I want my toys. You know, I want my trip to the Bahamas toy. You know what I'm saying? I want my toys, but I don't want to go there and think my happiness depends on being in the Bahamas. But what I want to do is go to the Bahamas and give and receive love. Mm-hmm. Because there's brothers down there, it's, you know, it's people in bikinis that need love too. Don't you need some love? So people see correctly, they laugh. People got guilt from the bikinis. Whatever you feel guilty about, you get mad about. Whatever you feel guilty about, you get mad about. Whatever's unresolved in you is what you get upset about. That's how you can always tell what people's issues are. The thing they can't laugh at or that they judge, that is their issue. You know, like people who get very funny when you talk about race stuff, they are racist, but they don't think they are. Because if you're not, you don't get moved one way or the other. If you're really neutral to something, it doesn't move you out of your peace center one way or another. But if you got an issue with it, then the minute you hear it, you immediately get an emotional charge. And that doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. It's just letting you know what needs to be reperceived, what needs to be released within you. That's the only purpose of it. Not guilt, not judgment, not sin. It's just, hey, I need to learn how to look at this another way. And so this weekend, I'm going to get an opportunity to what? See where my ego is coming from so I can stop hurting myself through it. And one of the best lessons is lesson two. I'm giving this all the meaning that it has for me. You still might feel the feeling. You still might get upset. That's okay, because readiness is not mastery. But what's helping you is to recognize you're giving it the meaning, even if I'm mad. So it's not about trying to make yourself not get mad. Or even if you say, I'm giving this all the meaning it has for me, it doesn't mean you're going to stop being mad. But it does mean you're reminding yourself you're not a victim, and that's empowering you. Okay? So, can we empower ourselves by acknowledging ourselves? For coming, for doing this? You know, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. I love the part of the mind we see each other through.
Yeah, I do.
It's so cool. I'm going to do the love offering now, and I give you a love offering is all the meaning that they have for me. There's going to be another advanced mind training on the 26th of July from 10 to 3 for those who want to do more in-depth study of the course with me. Let me take this round, Bonnie. More in-depth study of the course where we learn more about the application of the ideas. It's $50. It's from 10 to 3 right here. It's a limited enrollment. If you want to do it, the notebook is up here. Please sign up for it before you leave if you're ready to take it to another level. If you haven't signed the mailing list, please do, because I am now sending out stuff. And have some of you all got some stuff. Okay. All right, more stuff coming. All right. Debbie, you want to make an announcement? I'm not going to be here next Thursday, but we're going to still have class and an opportunity to receive some very powerful joining together.
I don't think I want to be a teacher, but I need to have somewhere to come on Thursday night. So I'm going to come, and I've been reading the course for almost 7 years, and one of the things I've realized is that reading it yourself is really powerful, no matter how good your teacher is. So I thought it would be cool for us to have an opportunity to come and read together and have some discussion, give us a chance to maybe get to know each other a little bit better. So I'll be here at the same time next Thursday.
And don't let her quietness fool you. Okay, Debbie has a lot of insight into the truth and can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. And so I want to invite you all. In other words, to me it would be really powerful to join whether I'm here or not, because that would be a symbol of our connection and our equal value to each other, no matter what. And also, send some love out to me. You know, I'll be seeing how much I've grown. I'll be at home with my family. And so I'll get a chance to get a reality check as far as my spiritual evolvement, because everybody that knows every button to push, they're waiting. All right, Mr. Spiritual Guy, let's see if you got it, because you usually give birth to your teachers. So, as you will be finding out. When I say that teacher is a neutral term, you give birth to your teacher. It can be your teacher of love as well as the teacher of fear, you know. And we still have our class on Sunday. There won't be a Wednesday, but there will be a Thursday evening class next week. So we're good. Alrighty, we got the advanced mind training. So let's take 1 minute before we go out into the world for me to say a couple of things for you to remember before you go into the lab. Did any of that make sense? So your assignment is try not to correct people unless you absolutely have to. And you'll see a transformation and a shift in your consciousness that'll blow your mind. One of the things you will begin to see is this. Things that you used to try to change from the outer will start to seem to change without you seeming like you're doing anything. It's the weirdest thing. I'm sure some people in here can back up what I'm saying. The thing you used to try to manipulate on the outside to happen, once you stop correcting, you'll start to notice that the person just seemed to have changed for some strange reason. They're not, or you don't react to it the way that you used to. So remember, to the ego, it's kind of right and good to point out errors and correct them. But your right mind doesn't even see it in the first place, because it only sees love or a call for love. If you see someone else's ego, just remember that you can only see it through your own ego. And as much as you can, when people are talking crazy, just don't try to understand them. I say it again. Stop trying to understand everybody. Stop trying to understand insanity. Stop trying to understand the ego. just start to focus on what you know is true. Instead of trying to understand, like for instance, if the person is speaking insanely, you know that's a call for love, that's a call for help, that's a reflection of something within your own mind that needs to be regenerated. So what you do is you say, I'm going to give this person to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give this person to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give their problem to the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. You go, I'm going to give this to the universe. I'm going to give this to God, because if I want God or the higher self or the higher power to handle my issues, and I believe God can handle my issues, the way that I show that I have that faith is I also give you to God. Because how can I really have faith and I say, Spirit, you can handle my stuff, but then I got to fix everybody else's? If you really believe in a higher power, start giving them to the same higher power you're trying to give yourself to. And then you begin to increase your faith in the higher power. So if you think God can work for you, then start giving everybody around you to God. Now, you're not going to be able to do that 100% of the time. The programming that you have about fixing and correcting may overpower you so much that you just feel like you just have to get that person straight. And when you do that, just remember that whatever you're pointing out in them, just remember that something within your own mind that also needs to be corrected. So it may indeed be in their ego, but just remember it's in your ego too. So I'm not saying it's not in their ego, but it's also in yours. So what do? You go, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release. Because I recognize we will be released together. That prayer is right at the end of chapter 15. It's the last page of chapter 15. That prayer should be written down. You should keep it in your wallet. You should keep it in your pocketbook. So that as soon as you get ready to go off, as soon as you can remember, you want to go. If you don't remember anything else, go, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. And then whatever you do after that, just do whatever you do after that. If you still feel compelled that you got to say something, do something, that's okay, because we readiness is not mastery. But the first thing you want to do is give it up. You want to give it up to you. Why? Because you're trying to convince yourself that you can give your issues to the higher power. You're trying to convince yourself that you can give what's going on in your life to God. And how can you do that unless you do that to everybody around you? You don't believe it if you don't do it to everybody else around you. If it would work for you, why wouldn't it work for your cousin? So you don't have to fix your cousin. If you're asking God to fix you, whatever you think is going on with you, then why do you think you're supposed to fix your cousin? Shouldn't God fix your cousin? And then you say, if it's something for me to do, if it's something for me to say, then, you know, Spirit, you be in charge of that. But primarily, you just want to walk out into the night going, I can only see my ego and somebody else's ego. All I'm seeing is a call for love, and I'm going to give them to the Holy Spirit as part of myself as much as I can. And readiness is not mastery. So I should be gentle with myself. All right?
All right.
May the course be with you. Appreciate you for having me. Remember, sometimes when you read the course, you may feel irritated as well as peaceful. You may feel a little angry as well as peaceful. That's normal. That's normal. It means you heard something. I'd rather you feel upset than nothing, because it means you heard. So if your ego got really affronted because I hit your thing, then right now part of you going, huh? I don't know. So if you feel that part of you, it's innocent. It's just a little insane, but it's cute. All right? But you all are really cute, so if you just don't talk too much, you'll be all right in the world. You don't have to worry about it. So, hugs are available. I appreciate y'all. You're a blessing in my life.
That's a good
class. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank God. God just uses me and throws me aside after the class is over. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a brunch on Sunday before the class, after the class. We have this incredible cook that comes over here and is a member of the church that does great food, $5. So a lot of times people leave the church and go to get something to eat that costs a lot more. So to support the church and have a great meal, that's happening Sunday. So I just wanted to say, you know, we can have it all.
Yeah.